blatantly obvious that not only have they not kept any promise to improve the situation, but that the human rights abuses are worse today than they have ever been in the past. And I think that one of the things when we get into a discussion of this issue that comes up continually, I find that people who are talking about human rights in China, whether they've improved or they've gotten worse, very often the speakers are talking about different concepts altogether. And when I say that human rights have never been worse in China, I'm often questioned by people who say, well, but we don't have the street committees anymore, and people are free to go to the Hard Rock Cafe at night, and they have bars and entertainment and all sorts of things that they didn't have before. And they have much less control over their daily lives, so of course it's improving. And I would agree with them if that's what we were talking about. But that's not how I define human rights. It is true that people have more freedom of operation today in their daily lives, but that's only because the Chinese Communist Party doesn't care about those things. They are sufficiently politically sophisticated to know that if they kept up the old style of repression that we had under Mao, with people peering through the bedroom windows at night and regulating the most personal aspects of people's everyday life and forcing them to take place or take part in political campaigns and to go out and march and wave banners and so forth, they know that people had had enough of that and they would be facing a revolt. And they also realize, because they don't have any ideology anymore, they don't really care if Chinese people listen to so-called bourgeois liberal music, decadent music. They don't care about any of that stuff. The only thing they care about is maintaining their absolute dictatorship in power. And people are not going to be organizing a revolt against the government if they're reasonably satisfied with the material things in their lives, if they can buy an air ticket and take a holiday and go to Xinjiang. And those things are better in China. There's no question at all. When I talk about human rights being worse than they've ever been before, I'm talking about things that I think are slightly more important than whether or not you're allowed to go to the Hard Rock Cafe at night. And when we talk about the fact that there are undoubtedly tens of thousands of human beings today that are kept alive in herds. I mean, the concept is that they're herding these people, kept alive to be killed on demand as needed to provide their organs for sale to international clients in the organ market. When we look at that, I mean, how in the world can we talk about human rights? How can we even include a government like this in the Society of Nations? You know, David Matus and David Kilgore, in their report, said, this is a new kind of evil. Even the Nazis in Germany didn't come up with this. My position is that you haven't even spoken to the issue of human rights if people do not have freedom of speech. If you don't have freedom of speech, if you cannot oppose the government of the day, if you don't have freedom of assembly, if you don't have freedom of religion, then you don't have any really fundamental human rights. Yes, you can go out to the Hard Rock Cafe. You can go and listen to a jazz concert. You can go to risque fashion shows that aren't much more than strip shows. Okay, great. If that's what you mean by human rights, then it is making progress. But the fundamental human rights have gone backwards. And my point in talking about the organ trade is that if you have something as blatantly bestial and uncivilized as this, how can you even discuss the improvement in human rights? Well, I don't think there's any doubt at all about it. And just to comment, to go back to the beginning of your comment, because you covered quite a few things there in your question. But first off, you say Westerners say that these are just allegations by David Kilgore and David Matus. The first thing that I would point out is that both of these individuals have absolutely impeccable credentials, both with David Matus and with David Kilgore. There is no one outside the Chinese government, I would say, who would attack either one of these people in terms of their credibility. Now, their credibility by itself doesn't mean that the charges are true. It's simply that they have a long and absolutely unquestioned history of being very principled people, very well-trained people. They're both lawyers. They're well-trained in evidence and in carrying out investigations and analyses of evidence. And they were retained independently in this case. So the credentials are not in question at all. And after that, it's only a question of reading their report. And I would guess that any Western critics of Kilgore and Matus have not read their report. I have read their report in its entirety, and I think that the evidence is overwhelming. It's and like David Kilgore and David Matus, I'm sorry I have to come to that conclusion. I mean, I would like to conclude that these are false charges and that it's not going on. But I don't think anyone who understands conditions in China and understands the difficulties of coming up with what is sometimes called a smoking gun in this kind of a case, I don't, and understands fundamental principles of evidence, I don't think anybody could read that report and not come away thinking that there is an overwhelming support for the unfortunate conclusion that this is going on. Now, I'm choosing my words very carefully. I don't say proof. And one of the things that I think any reader should be impressed with when they read the report by Kilgore and Matus is that they don't say that any piece of evidence in there proves that this is happening. And they point out the obvious, that when people are being murdered on the operating table, you are not going to find a smoking gun. You are not going to find absolute, incontrovertible proof of any particular murder. Some people have said, well, the Chinese, the Beijing government could tidy up, like in the case of Sujiatun, for example, the first area where this practice was discovered. Two or three weeks later, the Beijing government had people from the American embassy come in, and they looked around and they said, we couldn't find any evidence of this going on. Now, some people said, well, of course they didn't find evidence because Beijing had two or three weeks in which to cover up in there before the American inspectors came. But that doesn't even scratch the surface of the problem. If we assume for the moment that this is going on and people are operated on and their organs taken out while they're on the operating table and they die, what would an inspector expect to find, even if he came in the middle of the operation? People are being operated on all the time in hospital operating rooms. There's a lot of blood. There are body parts removed. People die on the operating tables. What would anybody expect to find? Now, what Kilgore and Matus did, as I'm sure you know very well, is they had Chinese-speaking people posing as people who needed organs, calling hospitals in China, talking to doctors, saying, we want Falun Gong donors because we hear that they're healthier people. They live a healthy lifestyle, so we would like Falun Gong donors. Do you have Falun Gong donors available? And we have doctors in Chinese hospitals saying, oh, yes, we have a lot of them right now. Or in other cases, we used to have them. We don't right now, but call the hospital in Guangzhou. They have Falun Gong donors. Or saying, we don't have them right now, but we can get them for you. Or saying, we always use living donors. We never use organs taken from brain-dead donors. We have hospital websites. Many of them have been closed down since this thing most of them, I guess, have been closed down since this thing was exposed. But on their websites, they are guaranteeing that they can find a compatible organ, in some cases within 2 weeks, in some cases within 2 days. And this is just absolutely impossible unless you had a system like this operating. We have doctors in the West who specialize in transplant operations and the transplant of organs, and they will tell you that there is no possible way that you can guarantee to find compatible blood, compatible tissue in a voluntary donor within those kinds of time periods. And anybody in the West who is looking for a transplant will wait up to 5 years, or they may die before they ever get it. And we have many more voluntary donors in the West for cultural reasons. Chinese very seldom agree to donate organs. It's almost unheard of. It would be the hardest place on the planet to locate voluntary donors of organs. And what do we have here? The only way you could maintain the numbers of transplants that are carried out by Chinese hospitals is to have a huge supply of people standing by whose tissue types and blood types have been programmed, or at least the information on it has been fed into computers, so that when a foreign patient turns up who needs a kidney or a heart or a liver, then he will be tested, and that information will be fed into a computer, and they will select a living human being who is being kept alive just for this kind of matchmaking. And that person will now have all his organs taken out of his body and used for transplant purposes. Now, we have any number of transplant surgeons in the West who will verify the claim that these numbers of transplants simply can't be carried out on any other basis. But coming back to Kilgore and Matus and their report, they emphasize over and over again, as they go through each piece of evidence, they say, does this by itself prove that the practice is occurring? No, it doesn't. But it's highly suggestive. And then they move on to the next piece of evidence and the next one. And when you take all of those things and put them together, it is not proof in the sense that you can carry out a chemical experiment in a lab and prove a certain chemical reaction. And it's not proof in the sense of television footage of Falun Gong people being taken in and operated upon. But I don't think any reasonable person can read their report and come away unconvinced that this is what's happening. Well, I draw the same conclusion that you do. And I think the conclusion is obvious. They're not going to allow any independent inspection or investigation in China because they're not interested in the truth. And I shouldn't say they're not interested in the truth. The more correct way of putting it is that the Chinese Communist Party fears truth probably more than they fear anything else.